Roto-Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bach.
Hey, everybody, what is going on? Welcome, Roto Grinders, Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. For you, this fifth day of January, Dan Bach in the driver's seat today. You might know me a little bit better, DB730, the Daily Fantasy alias. Catch me daily over there on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, 6 to 7. Love doing that show with you. But this podcast, hopefully, helping you a little bit as a daily fantasy player, both as a tool for you to maybe build some lineups, be a good base for your lineup building process of the day, and also kind of bringing you up to speed on different aspects to daily fantasy, because this industry continues to absolutely blow up, and I love talking about not just the business aspects, but all the different things that come with the emerging industry. And today we're going to kind of do all those things. We'll obviously hit up on the four-game slate tonight. It's not huge, but there are big tournaments out there to be won. I know there's qualifier on FanDuel for their World Fantasy Basketball Championships. Pretty sure DK has one as well. And obviously the last day to try and get some tickets on the cheap over on Fantasy Aces for their big live final queue tomorrow. I've been so close. It's been within my grasp, and I just haven't been able to take it down. Maybe tomorrow's the day. We will hit up on the games here tonight. But we also have a guest for you today on the show, Peter Shankey of RotoWire. He's somebody who has really been integral in the growth of fantasy sports from the beginning. He's a board member and an FSTA Hall of Famer, and we talked to him a little bit about the legal side of fantasy sports, daily fantasy sports. He made a trip to Iowa recently to kind of lobby on behalf of the fantasy industry. So we'll get his take on all that stuff. And also, let's get into some other news that's kind of breaking, I guess you could say. First off, we need to tip our cap to a couple of big winners last night. It's hard for me to know exactly who is and who is not a community guy. So one thing that I want to encourage people to do is, if you know you're a part of RG, even if you're not a vocal person in RG, somebody who, you know, posts on Twitter or writes columns or anything like that, you know, community is what this is all about. If you have a big night, feel free to throw a tweet over to me or the Grinders account. And, you know what? You deserve some praise when you do well. And it's hard, though, because there's so many people in this community, and we don't know them all. So I know a lot of times people have win a big tournament, have a big night, and they feel like we slighted them. You know, we're not giving them their dap here, either Twitter or on the podcast or whatever. Just let us know, because we don't know who everybody is. And it's just kind of a great way to kind of get more entrenched within the community as well. So we always invite you to do that when you have some big tournament wins, because it's fun to share that with people. But a couple of guys last night who we do know within the community had some really big evenings. First off, over on FanDuel. How about FanDuel filling up a $600,000 tournament on a measly $25 buy-in for NBA? Unbelievable. I think they definitely scaled that tournament right. I mean, it was about maybe an hour early, maybe 2 hours early. I guess they could have gone a little bit bigger, but 600K seemed like a pretty fair number for all parties involved, them and for us as the players. And it was a great tournament last night. And shout out going to Ms. Idla, a.k.a. Matness, over there on FanDuel. He's somebody we met at a couple of the football finals 2 years ago. And obviously, he is not a woman, although I wasn't sure when I first saw his screen name. But Matt is somebody who's been grinding it for a while, and really happy to see him have that big night. You know, obviously, he took down the first place 50K in that FanDuel tournament, had a bunch of other teams finish well, in the standings as well. So congrats to him. Again, a guy who has been grinding it out for a while. And that's what it's about. I mean, even myself, I'm not going to lie. I'm not sitting here rolling in money from this basketball season. I've turned more tournaments than cash games. And I'm really at this moment just as a flat tournament guy, just pulling marginal profit, biding my time, and then figuring you're gonna bink one at some point in time. You're gonna hit, you know, a 5K winner, hopefully. And it's just keeping my head above water until that changes. Now, again, that's my fitting my lifestyle right now. It's easier for me to build tournament lineups, basically having to do a radio show from 6 to 7 right until roster lock, than it is for me to, you know, put all my eggs in a cash game basket. At least from my perspective, it has been. So I certainly have my good days, and then you have your days where you put in a bunch of lineups and they don't cash. Yesterday, I think I had 20 teams, and I think I finished with $525 in profit. So, or not profit, but return. So all that work yesterday for $25. But you know what? It wasn't a loss, and I felt like I put myself in a position to potentially, you know, have a greater windfall. I had some good teams. Some things didn't break the way I would have hoped they would have. But all in all, that's what this game is all about. But bankroll management, absolutely critical for each and every one. But it's all different, you know, depending on where you are as a player, your lifestyle, your how much time you have. So just something to think about. Also, big shout out to CSU Ram. Peter Jennings took down the DraftKings queue last night. He's certainly been close. I think he had a couple of second places up to this point, and not really a surprise. He's been one of the best NBA players over the last 3-4 years, and I think it was only a matter of time. And boy, you've got a pretty stacked field into that DraftKings tournament already, and just the prior qualifier over there, I forgot to mention it on the show, Westbrook for MVP, or Kobe for MVP, or Melo for MVP, or whatever MVP he wants to be on that day, took down the DKQ, the one prior. And of course, he won the $1 million in the football event, so he'll have a chance to try and go back-to-back over on DraftKings. Not a very big trip for him. He lives in Las Vegas, or they live in Las Vegas. It's a team, of course. And it'll be not surprised at all that they made it. I think that they would agree NBA is by far their best sport. So they won $1 million in a sport that they don't think they're that great at. I don't want to put words in their mouth, but not as good as their other sports. And now they're playing for $1 million for NBA. But boy, competition is going to be stiff in that sucker. So there you go. That's the quick rundown of last night. Want to give a quick shout here to something that just launched in the forums, and something that has got a little new aspect to it. And if you don't know, Roto Kevin has kind of become the voice of fantasy taxes. He's been doing it, writing columns for us on Roto Grinders for, what, 3+ years, maybe 4 years? In my opinion, he's like the foremost authority when it comes to taxes and daily fantasy. He's a player, and he's done a ton of research on it, and there's nobody I would trust more to do my taxes than Roto Kevin. And he is now branched beyond just obviously helping people out in the forums, which he's still doing, but going to be offering some tax preparation services. He is a licensed CPA in Minnesota, but he can do taxes for a resident of any state. And if you just are either overwhelmed by it, don't know about it, don't want to deal with it, I certainly hope you reach out to him. He's got a website, fantasytaxes.com. And again, that is got a post in the forums. So if you just want to try and ask a simple question and do it yourself, he'll help you out. But again, if you just want to leave the work to him, he is now offering up that service. And I'm really happy he is. He's somebody who I've become good friends with over the years, somebody who I team up with from time to time in terms of making runs at big tournaments. And, you know, I'm glad he kind of took this next step forward as a business, and hopefully it works out for him. And if you are in need of any of those services, do check him out. He can help you out at RotoKevin on Twitter. And just reply. You can send him a message here on RotoGrinders or on, again, his new website, fantasytaxes.com. So wanted to give him that definite plug. And again, he is there to help you out. Okay, let's get to our first guest, Peter Shankey of RotoWire. He is somebody who, again, in the very beginning of daily fantasy, or not even daily fantasy sports in general, there's a lot of lobbying that kind of went on to make everything what it is today, and he was a big part of it, and the fight continues. Fantasy sports still not legal in all 50 states. We're working towards that, so we'll get the latest update on that. Here it is, Peter Shankey, RotoWire, on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. All right, excited to bring on our next guest. He is a FSTA Hall of Famer and the CEO, founder of RotoWire.com, making his debut here on the podcast with us, Peter Shankey. Peter, thanks for the time, and great to finally get you on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a listener and a fan, so, you know, happy to contribute.
Now, you got a lot of stuff to touch on. First up, you are very active in the fantasy lobby, and basically what we mean by that is making sure legally fantasy sports, you know, remains legal in the states that it is, and trying to maybe reverse course on some of the legislation in states where it's not currently legal. Now, where are we with that? Because I know you've been a pretty busy man over the last couple of weeks.
So I'm the chairman of the Fantasy Sports Trade Association, and then as part of that, there's a legal committee which deals with all these kinds of issues, and I head that up. So I'm really kind of the guy that's leading the charge to both defend the law that we have that makes fantasy sports and daily fantasy sports legal, and then to go into the states where it's not legal. And there's five states that everyone kind of agrees where if the law is even ambiguous or against fantasy sports: Washington, Louisiana, Iowa, Arizona, and Montana. And then in addition, you know, there's probably another three or four states where there's some disagreement, and some fantasy sports operators, you know, don't allow people to sign up from those states, and others do. So, but at the FSTA, we're trying to take those five and get some legislation to fully legalize fantasy sports in those states.
And I know the biggest push, or the latest push for you at least, was out in Iowa, which again does fall on the exempt list. But take us through that situation, exactly what your role was, you know, I guess going to Congress and talking about it. And what kind of questions did they ask you?
So this is the third year there's been a bill in Iowa to try to fully legalize fantasy sports. In the first couple of years, I just think it took a lot of education. I mean, a lot of people just don't know what fantasy sports is, that it's not gambling, that it's a game of skill, that there's an exemption for it at the federal level. But that federal exemption doesn't supersede state law. And in Iowa, they have a test for a contest. If it involves any luck at all, then it's considered gambling in part, you know, and illegal, or part of the game, you know, legalized gambling there. So, I went to Iowa last week. I testified in both the Iowa Senate and Iowa House for these bills. Bills that are in the House and the Senate, they're the same bill, but they generate start on both sides, and try to educate the senators and congressmen there about fantasy sports. I think I've got a good shot in Iowa. In all these states where there's legalized gambling, the entrenched, or I should say, the legalized gambling companies, be that casinos or lotteries or any other form of legalized gambling, you know, they're just very resistant at first to anything that even, you know, touches gambling or that law or that kind of law, even if it's fantasy sports, a game of skill, and not something that you know, that legalized gambling operates and runs. And so they've been either, you know, against it, trying to protect their turf, or they've been very inquisitive about it and trying to ask a lot of questions, you know, and very guarded about it. And that's certainly been the case in Iowa. That was like that last year. I think that's one of the reasons why the bill lost some momentum and didn't have a House vote on the floor of either the Senate or the House, even though it passed committees and had bipartisan support. So this year, I think that they're a lot more aware of fantasy sports. They're certainly aware of daily fantasy sports, and I think that you know, they've got a little more comfort level with it. And so we're hopeful that we'll be able to have a breakthrough.
Yeah, I mean, how big of a deal do you think it is to have FanDuel and DraftKings basically proliferate the mainstream like they have? I mean, you got to imagine that there's a ton of constituents in that state who, you know, they still see the commercials all over the place. They're not all locally. Most of these are nationally run commercials. And then when they go to FanDuel, says, sorry, you know, you can't play because you're in Iowa. I would have to think that that might be a tipping point to trying to get some of this change, because there's so much more exposure to it now than there ever has been.
It's definitely a factor. I mean, certainly they're hearing it from their constituents. They're a lot more aware of it. I mean, they've seen the TV commercials. So that, you know, increased the visibility for fantasy in all these states, which, you know, is positive and negative. I mean, it has some negative negative connotations too. But I think a lot of this is also just driven by the fact that, you know, for example, the bill in Iowa started from a constituent who called up his congressman in the Iowa House, who wanted to play a traditional season-long game and couldn't for money. And it's also driven by the fact that in some of these states, if you enter a contest on ESPN or a major media site or whatever site and you win a prize, even if it's something as non-gambling as a T-shirt or something like that, you know, you still can't accept that prize, or ESPN won't give it to you because of the laws there. So, I think it's driven by that. But certainly, yeah, when I go to these states, everyone's seen the FanDuel and DraftKings commercials on ESPN. So there's definitely an increased awareness of fantasy sports.
What's your feeling on the state of Washington? Because that's the other one that I've been reading a lot about. It sounds like it might even be fast forwarding to getting an answer on this in the coming weeks. And from what I'm reading, is the legislation is pro-fantasy but anti-daily fantasy. How up to speed are you on that? And obviously the audience of this podcast is not at all in favor of anything being anti-daily fantasy. And what can we do to, you know, potentially, you know, have them realize? Because from what I could tell, is their feeling was season-long fantasy is skill and daily fantasy is not, and there's plenty of data to back that up that's false. So your take on Washington?
Yeah. So Washington, a bill is introduced in both the Senate and the House there, and it actually, the text of the bill itself is actually the same as Iowa. It's the same as in Maryland in 2012 that was passed. That basically what it says is that these states should adopt the exact same language that's in the federal statute in the UEJA and make that the law of the land in their state, basically saying that fantasy sports is a game of skill, exempted from gambling law, and as long as you follow the exact same criteria that's in the UEJA. So the bill as it stands in Washington, that's what it is. There hasn't been any changes. I mean, once a bill gets put into motion, could be all kinds of amendments and changes, who knows, right? So, you know, we're going to fight to keep that as much as the successful bill we had in Maryland as possible. In that hearing, there definitely were some comments from the senators who, you know, didn't know what daily fantasy was. They don't know that it's a game of skill. And I think that's part of the problems we have in these states that we saw in Iowa before, is that there's a big educational effort. I mean, we need to make sure that the people in the Senate and the House there realize that daily fantasy sports is a game of skill. It's no different in terms of being a game of skill versus gambling than any other form of fantasy sports. So we definitely have some work to do there for sure.
You mentioned the gaming lobby, especially in like a state like Arizona, for example, where I do realize something was put to paper there, and I think it got squashed before it really got any traction. And a big part of that was the gaming lobby. Why do they view fantasy sports as any kind of threat to a brick and mortar type casino? I don't understand that whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean that's so. Yeah, so in Arizona last year we also introduced a similar bill, and it also you know, went the same path kind of as Iowa, got approved in committees, but then really didn't make it to the floor, and for the exact reasons you talked about, where the casinos decided to try and stop it. You know, I think that, you know, the legalized gambling and the casinos and the tribes in the case of Arizona, you know, they're just very guarded about their turf in terms of their business, and they do anything that comes in and sort of changes the equation of gambling. Even though fantasy isn't gambling, it's going to get exempted from gambling law. You know, they're just very guarded about it. And I think a lot of that is the fact that they just don't know what fantasy sports is. But you're right, it's just not a threat to them because, you know, no one plays fantasy sports in casinos, right? I mean, you might do a draft in a casino like the NFFC or NFBC in Vegas or, you know, some similar high stakes contests. But, you know, you don't use the mechanisms of the casino. You don't use chips and the cage and the rack and the scoreboards and the tables. I mean, you know, that's not how fantasy sports works. So it's no threat to them. It's also no opportunity cost. You know, this isn't something that, there's fantasy sports being played in casinos in Illinois, but not in Iowa or something like that, you know, or that, you know, there's somebody going to have this, you know, a great fantasy sports business. I mean, this is a game that's played online. It's played on, you know, mobile phones. I mean, you know, no one goes to the casino, you know, to have to play, right? And then in New Jersey, the New Jersey Gaming Commission passed a rule that allowed fantasy sports to be played in the casinos, where the casinos could use the mechanisms of the casino, the cage, the rack, chips. No casino there has done it. And I think the reason why is because, you know, they realize that this is just isn't something that people, you know, doing casinos, that they necessarily have to do in casinos. So I think that's the educational task that we have to try to push these things through, is to convince them that it's just no threat to them. You know, I think at the same time, if these casinos suddenly, you know, offered fantasy sports games in their casinos or hosted drafts, we as an industry, we wouldn't really care. It'd be no different if a bar did or, you know, some other, you know, an entertainment establishment offered, you know, fantasy sports. Doesn't mean it's a game of, you know, just because it's in the casino doesn't mean it's gambling. It's a game of skill, but sure. Hey, if you want to host it there, great, you know. So, but yeah, that's a big task. But, you know, casinos are well-funded, organized, you know, political machines. So, they're difficult to overcome.
We're joined by Peter Shankey of RotoWire, also FSTA Hall of Famer. And let's kind of switch gears a little bit to always a hot button issue for daily sites, and you guys supply a lot of the information, and that is, you know, starting lineups for baseball, injury information for, you know, sites like FanDuel. I know you do. I'm not sure about DraftKings, but what is the kind of evolution of that been for you as a business? Because, I mean, you guys have been supplying lineups even to us here at RotoGrinders for a while, and, I mean, was that, I have to imagine that daily fantasy has really made that a bit of a boom. I can't imagine anybody caring about baseball starting lineups all that much until the daily fantasy game kind of started. Talk about the evolution there and how you work with these daily fantasy sites in terms of how much information you supply to them.
Yeah, so we provide the player news to FanDuel and DraftKings and lineups to you know, those sites as well. Also, you know, many more of the daily fantasy sports sites that are out there. You know, I'd say the vast majority of them use our information in one form or the other. Yeah, it's kind of when those sites first started taking off, they didn't really want to give that much information to their users. You know, there was kind of a general idea that they didn't want to inform one group of users versus the other. But I think that they realized eventually that including more information makes for a better experience. I mean, certainly if you're a new user and you go in and you pick some guy who's out for the season or out for that night, you know, you might get turned off and not come back again. And I think that, you know, the savvier players, you know, that's not going to give them a huge competitive advantage over somebody else. I mean, because, you know, that information is also easily available out elsewhere in the internet, you know, from places like RotoWire and our competitors. And so I think over the year you've just seen the DFS sites, you know, include more and more of that information in their games. And, you know, I would imagine that trend will probably increase. I mean, you know, there's probably some limit, you know, where they're probably not going to tell you who to pick or that kind of stuff, or do the kind of analysis that they do on RotoGrinders. But I think that's going to increase. And certainly it's been great for RotoWire. I mean, you know, we've been doing this since 1997. And you're right. I mean, daily lineups for baseball, you know, in particular, was not that important for a season long, you know, 10 years ago. You know, it was a little bit. I mean, you did have games with daily lineups. I mean, the default format for Yahoo has daily lineups. But for the most part, in a season-long game, your choices, you know, in any given day are pretty limited, right? I mean, you might have to make like one or two roster decisions for your team, so you might glance at who was in the lineup that day, and that might be like the deciding factor. But certainly not to the level it's been for daily fantasy. So we really had to up our game in terms of the information that we produce, on a daily basis, and you know, daily lineup focus the last few years. And I feel like we've done a really good job. I feel like we're the leaders in that information. And, you know,
how do you get the lineups? Is it strictly via a press wire? I mean, what's the process in terms of acquiring those lineups? Because so many of us are always on the edge of our seat waiting for them to fall. How does that exactly work in terms of like the news gathering process for that?
Well, we've got a big crew. I mean, RotoWire, you know, itself has 170 plus writers as part of our network, you know, covering all the sports. So that's not just baseball, but you know, obviously a sizable chunk of that crew helps with our baseball coverage when baseball comes along. So what we do is we've just got a whole crew of people that are just watching everything, you know, Twitter, websites, official sources, press releases, you name it. And so, you know, anytime we get anything that's related to a lineup, we put it in there. Anytime there's a change, somebody gets scratched or, there's an adjustment later on, you know, we're updating it. So we're constantly updating those lineups all the time. We also do for basketball. For basketball, we have a projected lineup. And then, you know, we adjust that when the official lineup comes up. But basketball is really hard because unlike in MLB, there's no official lineup until they actually announce it at the game. So that's kind of problematic for daily fantasy. At some point, I hope the NBA makes a rule where they have to announce the lineup a little bit earlier.
Yeah, you know, that's something that's been a hot button topic too. It make your life a lot easier, and most of us players as well. I still question whether it's going to happen, but because you can always have the guy who goes through and has a stomach issue or whatever. I just question whether or not coaches would abide by exactly that lineup that they put forth. I mean, what are they going to do if somebody's has a stomach bug after warm-ups and you've got them in the starting lineup? Do you have to play them? So
it's that way in baseball. In baseball, there's no lineup until they actually like give the hand over the lineup card to the umpire, right? But you know, just for the sake of like fans and information, you know, they release a lot earlier. And so I mean, I think for the NBA, I think it would do well, not just for daily fantasy, but just as a fan, if you knew, you know, an hour ahead of time that here's the lineup for tonight. I mean, you know, you certainly get the information that'll help you watch the game better.
All right. Well, Peter, we certainly appreciate you giving us a visit here on the podcast today. Great insight on a lot of different things. And keep fighting the good fight for fantasy sports. Hopefully we can, turn some of this, you know, final 5-6 states around. That would be wonderful. Thanks again, Peter. Appreciate it.
Yes. No problem. Glad to help out.
All right, let's get back to the games here tonight over on FanDuel. You've got the Slam, $250,000. So that's a first-place prize of, 25,000? Let's take a look. $20,000 tonight. So not bad. Give that a run. You also have the World Fantasy Basketball Championship Q number 4. $25 buy-in, about half full as of about 9:30 this morning. So this sucker is going to fill this afternoon. Make sure you at least reserve an entry as soon as you hear this podcast if you want to get into it. And then you can always make some edits on that team before tip-off. Only 4 games for us tonight, so not a whole lot for us to go on. And honestly, this first game, Washington and Charlotte, not one I've got a whole lot of interest in. You're looking at a total tonight of 186. And when you consider there's only 4 games on the schedule, and the other 3 are all 207 and higher. To me, I don't see a lot of point in getting a lot of exposure to this. The one thing you can say is Vegas expects it to be competitive. Only a 1-point favorite there for Charlotte, who's really been playing a great defense, the number one defense since January the 1st. And for me, that just takes pretty much everybody for Washington out of play tonight. I don't see a reason to pay up for guys like John Wall. Bradley Beal tonight, his salary is starting to come up a little bit in the bigs, just not getting it done. So for me, it's an easy fade of all Washington. Charlotte, again, you know I love Al Jefferson. Not sure this is the spot I want to play him in, especially when you consider some of the other centers that we have available to choose tonight. So all in all, this is probably a fade. Maybe Michael Kidd-Gilchrist at 6,100. He's had 35 and 40 fantasy points each of the last two games, double-doubles in those. And I think Marvin Williams has been a little bit banged up lately, so he's certainly had to, you know, hit the glass a tad bit more than usual. So he's the one guy, I think, from Charlotte that I might consider. Brian Roberts, value play at point guard. He's been over 20 fantasy points in three of his past four games, so I guess he kind of falls into a cheap option of the day. 34 minutes for a $4,300 price tag. You will take it. Now let's get on to the games that really matter. Clippers and Cleveland. Cleveland opens up here as a five-point favorite at home. Total is sitting at 207. And this should be a fairly high-paced game. And, you know, you got Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving. Both those guys make good plays tonight. I think I will give the slight edge to Paul over Irving. Kyrie's defense leaves a lot to be desired here. And I think Chris Paul is in a really good spot at under 10K. It's just a matter of whether you can fit these high-priced players in. The guy you got to look at is certainly for the Clippers, Jamal Crawford, 5,200. J.J. Redick is going to be out for the foreseeable future. Crawford will likely move into that starting lineup. And when he does, he gets, I don't know, five, seven, 10 more minutes. And for a guy who can get really hot with his jump shot, definitely put him under some consideration tonight. Like him much more than J.R. Smith, who is at a similar price point on FanDuel tonight. LeBron James never makes a bad play, especially in closely competitive games, and this is what this should be. I don't know if I want to pay that number for him. 11K is a lot. When you can get Blake Griffin at, you know, 9,600, saving 1,400 on salary, I think I'd rather pay up for a guy like Blake, who I think is absolutely in play tonight. You know, Kevin Love at 8,300, his salary continues to plummet, and I think he's actually getting closer to being in play as a play here. I mean, you look at the last couple games here against Philadelphia. He had 15 rebounds in that one. Did not attempt very many shots whatsoever. Finished with a 30 fantasy point day. Now, typically, even for Love, he's not going to average 25 points a game again, but he can average 16 to 20. That's really what he's done this year. So if he would have gotten 16 to 20 last game against Philly, his normal average scoring, he would have certainly made value on that salary. 14 and 17 the game before against Minnesota, 23 and 10 against Sacramento. So I don't hate Kevin Love here. I don't think he'll be highly owned whatsoever. And I think that, you know, you look at this Clippers team, one thing they don't particularly do well is rebound. And that is one thing that Kevin Love does do very well. Other plays, DeAndre Jordan at 8,500. He's, you know, pretty much double-double waiting to happen. I don't think we're going to see 20 and 20 like we saw last game against Brooklyn, but he should be fine here tonight. Mozgov is a punt. Very dangerous play for me. If I was going to punt, I think I'd actually rather have Roberts as a punt than Mozgov at 5,500. Just seems like this could be a foul trouble type situation with a very aggressive Blake Griffin going to the basket and even DeAndre Jordan being so active on the glass. Mozgov, for me, feels like fouls waiting to happen. Now, if you want to predict that, then Tristan Thompson's the guy who's going to play more and more minutes. But for me, that's definitely only tournament play. Dallas and Sacramento. Dallas, tough loss for them last night. You know, probably feel like they should have won that game. But some hot shooting by Golden State. I mean, they're the best team in the league for a reason. Now Dallas has to bounce back and play Sacramento. It's a bad spot for Dallas, for sure. And you look at Sacramento in this game, only a two-point dog at home to Dallas. So I think they're looking at Sacramento as a team not only to keep it competitive, but potentially win this game. DeMarcus Cousins, give me him for 11-1 over LeBron James tonight. He did pretty well against Dallas last time, 32-16-9. Yeah, 61 fantasy points will cut it. Tyson Chandler, you know, he is a tough defender. Had a really nice game last time out against Golden State, 45 fantasy points. He's in play as a kind of a value play. Certainly like him more than Mozgov. But I think going against Cousins, potential foul trouble there. I think Boogie is in a really good spot here tonight against the Dallas team. Again, does not rebound well. So let's get him on the glass and see what he can do. Guards in this one, Darren Collison at 6,800. I don't mind him in the middle tier here. We saw the abuse of Steph Curry to those guards, and we could see it again here with Collison. Curry did it more from the perimeter. Collison is not a great perimeter shooter, so he'll have to get to the hole to dominate those guards, but he should be able to do that. As for J.J. Barea, Devin Harris, I mean, Barea last night, I mean, for 3,900, he still gave you 21 fantasy points. That is looking like 5X on your salary. That's kind of what you're looking for on FanDuel, so you can't complain too much about that. 28 minutes, and they didn't even shoot the ball particularly well, so I can get behind Barea at 3,900. Other plays for this one, Monte Ellis, okay. 39 minutes last night, 36, 37. He's on the floor an absolute ton. Probably not going to go there. Probably not going to pay up that price. Obviously, I think Crawford looks like the sharp shooting guard play of the night. And I think I'd rather pay up and probably get a guy like Bledsoe for a little bit more. Chandler Parsons has been playing really well lately. Nice game for him last night. Almost 40 fantasy points at 6,100. You're getting good value on that. If you need a middle tier guy, Al-Farouq Aminu continues to earn himself minutes. 29 fantasy points last game versus Golden State, so he's only 4,300. So certainly some value to be had there. Not totally interested in Rudy Gay. Don't hate him for sure, but tournament play only, and not going to go overboard on exposure there. Phoenix in Portland, last game for us here. Damian Lillard's not been shooting the ball well. This could be a spot for him to kind of turn it around. I mean, he hasn't been playing bad from fantasy-wise, 41, 40, 38, despite the shot not really falling. So when it does fall, you think some 50-burgers could be on the horizon. So for that reason, I could get behind him. Dragic at 6,300, just a roller coaster. He's obviously not a cash game play for me tonight. I think if you're going to go cheaper, you might as well just go down to a Barea or a Roberts over a Goran Dragic for me. At shooting guard, Wes Matthews, really like him tonight at 5,900, over 30 in each of the last two. I mean, you know what you're going to get. 30 to, anywhere from 28 to 35 is what you get from Wesley Matthews at 5,900. He's almost a plug and play at that number on FanDuel. Over at small forward, Nick Batum lit up this Phoenix team last time they played, 27, 10, and 5, definitely his best game of the year, but that was without LaMarcus Aldridge. Last game versus Utah, he's okay, 10, 8, 6, and 2, and 1, 32 fantasy points, so for that price tag, certainly like him better than, say, PJ Tucker for 1,000 less. I don't mind Tucker if you're just kind of reaching for somebody there at small forward tonight, because he does play a lot of minutes, but not anybody I want to get too much exposure to. Aldridge at 98, I think I prefer Blake Griffin over him at that similar price point. Markieff Morris at 6,400 is been a bit more consistent lately, been on the floor over 30 minutes, four straight games, 24, 31, 33, 29, so he kind of falls into a decent mid-tier power forward play for you tonight. And at the center spot, not much I can get behind here. Robin Lopez did return, played 25 minutes, scored 20 fantasy points, but not enough for me to say, yeah, let's load him up. Alex Len has really dropped off over the last month or so let's just ignore the center position there. All right, that is the look at the four-game slate tonight in Daily Fantasy Hoops. Best of luck in your matchups. All right, let me tell you about my friends over there at FanDuel. FanDuel.com, World Fantasy Basketball Championship Q tonight, $25. Get into it. They also have a World Fantasy Hockey Championship Q tonight. It's a $100 buy-in and only 225 spots. That's over half full as we speak right now. So if you want to go to Vegas and compete in the hockey championship, I think $50,000 is the first place prize in that tournament, then you better play in that hockey tournament tonight with that $100 buy-in. Also, we want to thank them for obviously putting their name on this podcast. $600,000 tournament last night, the Mega Slam. I think it's a safe assessment that they're going to run another one of those. When you can run a $600,000 tournament, that's good for the sites and that's good for us players. Gets the excitement going, and hopefully they have another one of those lined up maybe in a couple of weeks. But tons of great things happening. College basketball before the madness. Look for some of those cues. You're going to get bored when the NBA hits the All-Star break and there's nothing going on and you want some basketball. Well, it's going to have to be college hoops, and they've got a big tournament. I think it's $75,000 college basketball tournament. And I think I've got about five or six seats into that already, so I'm locked and loaded, and good opportunity for you to get some for yourself. You can find them both in NBA and in college basketball satellite satellites out there. All right. Thanks again to our great sponsor, FanDuel.com. And that does it for us tonight. I want to thank Peter Schenke for jumping on the show with us. And thank you for listening and downloading the podcast. You got a lot of options out there in fantasy sports podcasting and podcasting in general. So for us to kind of get 30, 40 minutes of your day each and every day means the world to us. You can find us on Twitter, at RotoGrinders, on iTunes, and on the Stitcher app. So do subscribe to this. If you got any feedback, dan@rotogrinders.com is the email address, or leave a comment here in the comment section on the RG podcast page. I'll join you tonight, Sirius XM, at 6 to 7. 3 hours of Grinders Live. We got hockey at 3:30, and then two NBA shows at 4:30 and 5:30. Crazy Gaby will be with you tomorrow on the podcast. Till then, have yourself a great Thursday night, and we will see ya.